Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from AT&T, the passion to invent, the drive to deliver. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
Welcome to another installment of What Would Rob Do, the podcast that tackles life's most trying dilemmas. And today we are tackling the nuclear crisis with Iran.
No, David, we are going to tackle when I play poker and when I lose big time, because everyone knows what I've got, what I'm going to play for.
You have no poker face.
I have no poker face. I've got nothing. I've got an empty wallet at the end of the night is what I've got.
All right. So what do we do?
All right. I called someone who actually does know how to play. His name, Phil Gordon. He's one of the top money winners on the World Poker Tour. He's raked in millions and millions of dollars because he knows this game inside out.
How does he do it?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
He cheats, actually.
No, he doesn't cheat. He says there's three ways to size up a player. One, see how they're acting. You know, if they're saying, oh, I got a really strong hand now. That's usually the opposite. Or if they're trying to pretend like they've got a weak hand, maybe they've got a strong hand. Next, see how they're placing their bets. What are their patterns? You know, are they all of a sudden putting in a lot of money in one instance and then only betting a little in another? The last is that what we're talking about, the involuntary mannerisms, the poker face. And catching a poker face, figuring out what someone's tell is, people think that's what makes a great player, but actually, it's not.
A tell is like somebody scratches their nose and then you know they're bluffing.
Right. Phil Gordon says that doesn't really matter.
It doesn't happen.
I might change one out of 30 decisions that I make at the table based on someone's physical mannerism, but I'm going to change a lot of my decisions based on their betting patterns, and I'm going to change a lot of my decisions based on their voluntary tells.
See?
Because that's really not what happened in James Bond.
Right. In James Bond, the guy was like bleeding blood out of his eye.
That doesn't really happen.
And he was like, I will get you, Bond. You will go down. And he's like,
you must have thought I was bluffing, Mr. Bond.
Yeah, the whole thing is convoluted because really, Bond should have been looking at what the guy was playing and not, you know, his bloody eyes, because that's just gross. Here's the thing. Phil Gordon says if you want to be the best poker player, you have to develop a routine.
So like pick your nose, but pick it all the time consistently.
Right. He says routine involves a number of steps.
Every single time that it's my turn to bet, I run a script through my head and I answer three very simple questions. The first question that I ask myself is,
why is this hand different from all other hands?
He does not ask that.
He does. He does. He wants to know, why is it different?
Why don't we have him on tape saying that?
Right. Well, no. Well,
you're paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing. Of course.
If it were passive.
Right.
Okay.
But anyway, no. When he goes through the motions of, is this a good hand? Is this a bad hand? Should I fold? Should I raise? Assessing.
He does all the calculations and the odds. And
right.
Stuff.
With all these things in mind, do you want to try it out? You want to see if you can take me on?
Yeah. You want to play a hand?
Yeah. Well, I've got some cards right here. I can do a bridge, too. Now, so in lieu of poker chips, I've come up with the elfin crackers. So here's the pot. I'll give you 5 of these each, or 10. How about 10?
All right, 10 elves.
Okay, so we'll play. So I'll deal out 2 cards each. Then I think, you know, based on that strength, you can bet.
Okay. 2 elves. I'm putting 2 elves in. You're reading my face?
I don't know.
What is my face saying?
I'm smiling again. I screwed it up already. Okay, here we go. I'll see your 2 elves.
Okay.
And let's deal out. I don't know.
Am I supposed to be like grim and emotionless right now?
You're supposed to be stoic. You're supposed to be like you don't care about anything. Like someone could stab you in the leg and you wouldn't even show emotion. You wouldn't even wince.
But you know what? I got a great hand.
Okay, so now I just dealt out a 7 of spades, an 8 of diamonds, and an ace of diamonds. So I'm looking at my hand and I'm giving you the stare down. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to raise you 3 elves.
I see your 3. I raise you. All right.
I'm all in, hoping you're going to fold.
Okay. So I can either take my 2 little crackers home and eat them, or I can risk winning 20.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
I have queen high. That's not really good at all.
All right.
And what do you have?
7.
Oh, 2 sevens.
With the 7 on the board makes a pair. And my other card, another 7.
Oh, 3 out of great hand. I should have. I wasn't reading you at all.
I actually at some point said I had a great hand.
Oh, yeah. I should have read that when you actually said you have a great hand. But see, I was thinking, oh, he's saying he has a great hand, but that means maybe he doesn't have a great hand. So, but you're really doing the double fake out because you knew that I'd think that you had a bad hand. So you really did have a good hand. In that case, you really did. So I lost. Now you have all my elves.
All right. Next time, rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors. Yeah, I think that's the way to go because this is too confusing and there's too many elves on the table. But
all right, Rob, because I love you, you can have a few of your elves back.
Oh, thank you.
All right, that'll do it. Thanks for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm David Kestenbaum.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Borders, presenting books, music, and movie gift ideas from the Gift Squad. Details at BordersGifts.com.